guys, welcome back to our podcast, Pending Nuptials, episode 5.
Cinco.
You know what? Now I know why I bought that cake today.
Why?
We're celebrating our 5th episode.
How will we celebrate the 6th episode?
I feel like 5 is such like a full round number, even though it's not a round number, mm-hmm. but it's just like it's a good number. So we're going to celebrate with cake.
Cool.
Yeah.
What flavor was the cake that you got?
The cake that I got from Baked on 8th here in Nashville. No, there is not weed in the cake. Everybody always asks that when I say like that I got something from Baked on 8th. They're like, does it get you high? And I was like, no.
I think people have to ask that anymore just to be safe.
But in the state of Tennessee?
Well, they just don't know what Baked on 8th is.
They don't know who's giving it to you.
Like, who is this Baked on 8th person? Is that their code name?
It is a peanut butter chocolate ganache.
I love all three of those things.
It's going to be really good.
I cannot wait.
I'm so excited. But first, bolognese.
Bolognese. Turkey bolognese, I bet.
Turkey bolognese with either red lentil or chickpea pasta.
Can you do both?
I mean, I guess.
No,
I could.
Your face says no.
I mean, I could technically do both.
No, go with what you know.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about cohabitation.
Cohabitation. It's like a Tool lyric. You don't know who Tool is.
Oh, I thought you were saying like it's a tool that those of us in the audio industry use.
Nope. Rock band.
Not getting the reference to the, I'm assuming, 80s?
No. There's people screaming at their stereos right now.
I'm so sorry.
All two of those people.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. My apologies to the Tool fans out there. Anyways, today we're going to be talking about cohabitation. It seemed only fitting since we are forced to cohabitate in a very close proximity. Mm-hmm. We can't get away from each other, really.
Even if we try.
Yeah, except for, you know, I go to work every day. But still, like, we can't really go out and do other things.
We can, but we won't.
We can't. So technically, this will drop next week, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We in the state of Tennessee have gotten the stay at home lifted for the state, but for the metro areas that have their own health services, they're kind of making their own rules. So Nashville is still in shelter in place.
Right.
But we live in Sumner County, so we can go out to restaurants and things, but we're not ready to do that quite yet.
Yeah, we're trying to do our part. Try not to be part of the problem.
Yeah, and not to rag on the people who live where we live, but I go to the grocery store and there's a lot of people not wearing masks, and that makes me quite nervous. So I'm not really ready to go out and sit down at a restaurant just yet.
No, I'm totally there with you.
Yeah. So cohabitation.
Cohabitation. You got some stuff you want to talk about. I know you do.
I do. So let's just start off the top with some facts about us cohabitating together. So we moved in together when?
It would have been November of 2018, I believe.
Crap.
Maybe
2018. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blowing my mind.
So I have obviously some questions for you.
Okay.
You were the one who asked me to move in
mm-hmm.
because you owned your own home at that time. I did not. What brought you to the decision to ask me to move in with you?
I thought it was a wise financial decision on both of our parts. And it was best for all parties. Not only your roommate get her own space,
mm-hmm.
but since we were already seeing each other most of the day anyway. Like, all the pieces were in play, and it was just hitting that go button, making it official.
Right, the final ask.
The final ask.
And it was just a casual, I don't know, random night on the couch. I don't even remember what day it was.
Right.
And you're just like, hey, you want to move in? I was like, what?
You weren't surprised. What are you talking about?
I mean, I tried to play it cool, but inside I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. He loves me.
I was really excited. I love being around you. Barf. But I just, we really, I know it sounds I don't know, cheesy to say, but seriously, from our first date, we were never spending the night apart from each other unless you were on tour or if I was going somewhere.
Sure. We wanted to know as much as we could about each other.
Right.
Yeah. And you're not a boring person, so I just wanted to soak it in.
Yeah. Well, you know, give it time.
I'm starting to see the real you. So, when you jump into cohabitation, the first things that you encounter, when both parties are living under the same roof, and I've thought about this, what do you do with the items that are double?
Like two sofas and things like that?
Two sofas, all the silverware, all the furniture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember you asked me if you could toss out a few things, but there are some things that you did not ask. You just went ahead and tossed.
Like what?
Like some silverware and some bowls that I had and just odds and ends, trinkets.
I don't remember
no, I do.
This.
I don't remember you asking either. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying I don't remember throwing anything away.
It's all a blur.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is definitely a delicate line to walk when you are moving in together, is you're combining your assets essentially.
Yeah.
And you have to make a choice. It's like, well, whose shit is better?
Yes.
I feel like I had some like random, really good quality stuff, but then so did you. And then some of the stuff that we had, we both had really shitty quality stuff.
Can you think of anything?
The thing that keeps popping up in my head is your silverware.
You just said you couldn't remember it.
Your silverware that had the like gray plastic on it.
No. What?
Yeah, it was like it's like it had a gray plastic handle, and I just so I know what I was gonna say. I moved out of my living situation and left a lot of things for my previous roommate, because when we moved in together, she bought a house and I had a whole house full of furniture. And so she bought the house and I furnished it
there
for
it
the
is.
Most part.
Yeah.
And so like, so if I would have taken the sofa, the entertainment center and all this stuff, then she would have had nothing and she would have had pay all this stuff out of pocket.
That would have sucked.
So she did pay me for the sofa, 'cause I had a really nice sofa. But I left a lot of things behind for her, and it worked out in our favor because your house was fully furnished
for the most part,
and everything for like, I didn't bring anything furniture wise really to your house except for like maybe a table, that like entry table.
Okay.
But your house was really well like designed and decorated, and it would have looked weird for me to bring in like random pieces from all of my stuff. So it was just easier, and moving wise, it was easier to leave those items behind.
Yeah.
I did, however, buy us a new bed when I moved in because I felt like we needed a fresh start in the bedroom. I will say I made a huge mistake with that particular bed. I thought it was really cool. I bought this iron framed bed. It was going to be so Pinterest worthy, and I put it together all by myself. And then it was the squeakiest motherfucking thing that I've ever encountered.
How are you to know that, though?
I know, but like if you think about it, like an iron bed obviously is going to be squeaky. Yeah. And I just have like, I have burned in my brain on many occasions in the middle of the night, you would get so frustrated with how the bed was creaking that you'd sit up and just shake the ever-living shit out of the frame. And I just felt really bad. So obviously when we moved into our new house, I bought a fabric bed so that it didn't make any squeaking sounds.
So not only did you buy that frame, but you bought another frame and the mattress and box to go with it. So you've furnished like most of the beds in this house. All but one.
Well, the one in our main guest room is your original bed, but the other two I did.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, it's a tricky, I mean, so it's, we circling back to your original question, it's, you kind of got to sit down and take stock of all of the items that you both own and kind of just be okay with saying like, okay, well, yours is better for this, or I really don't really like how this looks here, so I want to bring this piece, or I want to buy a new one.
Yeah. That would be like one of the first conversations, like the most potentially fractious conversations that a couple could have.
For sure.
Yeah.
Going along what we were just talking about, when it comes to like decorating and decor, how do you feel about our collective style in our house that we've moved into now? Because our first house that we lived in together was your house. You had lived there for 3 years and you had decorated everything.
Yeah.
So I tried to do what I could here and there to kind of make it feel like our space.
You totally did. Even before we were officially together, you gave me pointers on the paint.
Well, that sounds aggressive.
What? No. I was asking what I should paint these walls because I hated the beige
right. That
hadn't been done since the 70s. It was definitely time. I wanted to modernize it. Mm-hmm. And I knew your background and what your job was. Mm-hmm. I was like, interior design.
Yeah. And we painted it the Benjamin Moore black baby seal. And it's a wonderful color. It's a very deep, deep, deep navy.
Yes.
And it really just adds so much depth and can make a space feel so much more modern.
Yeah. And it goes great with those hardwoods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the color you chose. But yes, I feel like this house is very well furnished, but thanks to you, because if it weren't for your advice, I would have left like those two dining and living rooms avocado green.
It just, their rooms, the front of the house, they get a really good amount of light in the afternoon. And it just, that color, we have these two front rooms that kind of mirror each other in our house now that were painted this like dark avocado brown kind of.
Yeah.
And it was dark and it wasn't inviting. And so we've repainted them since then to this kind of like, almost like a light slate blue.
Very light blue.
Yeah, yeah. But not like a baby boy's room.
No, closer to a gray.
Yeah. But it's so much more inviting and the light in there is so much better. The rooms feel bigger with the lighter paint. It looks a lot better.
So when it comes to the ultimate vision for a room, I definitely leave that in your hands.
Thank you.
But if I have an idea, I definitely bounce it off you just to make sure I'm not crazy.
And this is where I will take some responsibility is I have very strong opinions when it comes to the decor of our house.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Because I don't know. Do guys think about this kind of stuff? Like when you're little, do you think about like what the inside of your home is going to look like?
Not when we're little. We're just thinking, yes, it's going to have a massive water slide and a skate park and a bunch of TVs.
Okay, so we got the TVs down. Does that mean we need to add the other things to this house?
I was thinking about a pool in the back, but I've...
A stock tank pool?
Oh, yeah. As soon as it came, it went.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... I can be a bit of a steamroller when it comes to my ideas for interior design.
Steamroll away.
And I think that our house is really taken shape and we've really been able to like make it a home and make it feel cozy.
We've walked through every room and decided like the things that we already own, how they can be of use in those rooms or what we would have to go out and buy. So we've been pretty solid on the communication for how the design is going to be.
Yeah, and we really haven't bought too much new furniture.
No.
Even though we kind of, our previous home was about 1,200, 1,100 square feet, and this one is 34.
Yep.
So we've basically tripled in size, but we've been really lucky in that a lot of our furniture pieces that we have are good quality, and so we were able to still use them.
Yeah, they're versatile.
And what pieces we have bought are we got from Facebook Marketplace, or I got them as donations from work.
The perks of working for a moving company.
Yeah, seriously. Like the things that people choose to donate, the age old adage of one man's trash is another man's treasure is so true. Yeah. I mean, we just got a kegerator last week.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, you didn't like, it wasn't a recliner, but it was what kind of chair would you say that was?
The one that was upstairs?
Yeah.
It was just an accent chair.
Yeah, that didn't work with the paint job that we just gave that room. So we put it on the curb, and not even 12 hours later, that sucker was gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice chair. It's just the colors in it just didn't really fit the vibe that we were going for in our house.
Kind of clashed.
Yeah. It would have fit in the old paint color of that room, but not the current one.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we've done a good job of, and I hope that I have done a good job in representing you in the home. Yeah. And it's not just like, oh, Kate's designed everything, but I feel.
No, that's not how you are.
Right, but I want to make sure.
No, you're not steamrolling.
Good.
You've been very clear on making sure my opinion matters.
Good. I'm glad. Because it does.
I promise on this podcast I wouldn't cry. You had a dog. I should say, you have a dog. I have a dog. And thank God that they get along so well and have since day one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to toot your horn a little bit because in our cohabitation, you've really been the one to schedule vet appointments and making sure that the medication for flea ticks and heartworms are given to the hour every time that is needed. So I'm going to give you some credit on that.
Well, thank you. Well, we had a little bit of a scare last summer with Prince and heartworm.
I think that was 2 summers ago.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It was 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 summers ago, Ben took Prince, our boy dog, to the vet for, I think it was just a checkup.
Just a checkup that you scheduled.
Well, it was time for his, oh, that's right. He was going for his vaccines so he could go to puppy camp. Right.
Yes.
And I just remember you called me and you're like, he has heartworm. And I hadn't had any experience with that before. And
neither
so I was like, okay, like just give him a pill and call it good. And it turned out to be much more
extensive
than that. And it could have led ultimately to his demise. Mm-hmm. And thankfully it didn't, but it was, he had to have like a little, it wasn't really a surgery. Well, it kind of was a surgery because he went under anesthesia, but
They were major injections.
Yeah.
Major injections.
So he had to have like these injections into his heart and he couldn't get his heart rate up for 3-4 months.
That's right.
But, you know, I just, since that day, I mean, I've always, our animals are our children and they will for always and ever be our children. And, you know, they're, health is very important and I want them to live for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And just since that day with the heartworm, I've been very adamant about the heartworm medication. And Bingley, our other dog, has had some issues with fleas before that gives her like skin irritation. So I learned that lesson very quickly. And we have a great vet just down the road.
Thankfully.
And they've thankfully been open during this whole pandemic. And Prince got a tooth pulled a couple of weeks ago because...
He's a trooper.
Yeah, they were roughhousing. And we think that maybe just half of his tooth got broken while they were roughhousing.
Yeah, or it could have been on one of the bones that they like to gnaw on.
Maybe. But anyways, he had been missing this front tooth for a long time. And then you noticed like, oh, that looks like there's still a little bit of tooth in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like 2 days later, I took him to the vet. Yeah. And they went and pulled out his little tooth.
Yeah, he was pretty sensitive about it there for a second, wasn't he?
Well, I think the thing about Prince is that he knows how to...
milk it?
Yes, he knows how to work it. Like, he has such expressive eyes, and he knows if he just looks at me a certain way, I'll give him whatever the fuck he wants.
But his tail gives it away.
Yeah,
that's
but that was the
face.
Thing. It's like when he was on a sedative from getting his tooth pulled, he couldn't wag his tail.
Oh, so sad.
And he, yeah, well, I mean, he's your boy, and you cried a little bit. And I love you for that. I really admire you, and just like, I don't even know if it's actually possible to love you anymore, but I just like, I have so much more affection for you when you like let your emotions like out.
I'm getting a little wispy-eyed right now.
But I appreciate that because in our society, men are really told to kind of button that down and not
yes.
have emotions. And I appreciate that you feel comfortable in front of me to show your emotions.
I definitely do. And you've kind of been the catalyst to let those emotions fly.
Let it go.
Because with the good comes the bad, and a lot of these tears these days are happy tears, which is great.
Yeah,
especially like all the good that we've seen in the world as of lately.
Yeah. For sure. Oh my gosh, I was watching. This is such a tangent, but it's fine. I was watching John Krasinski's Some Good News videos that he puts out every so often. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I just cried like a baby yesterday.
When he had the wedding.
Yes, is that right? He did. They had. Someone proposed to their girlfriend at a gas station like Jim did with Pam. Spoiler alert. I mean, how many years has it been?
A
few. If you haven't watched it at this point, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not sorry that I'm spoiling this for you. But then at Jim and Pam's wedding, you know, they do that like flash dance as they're walking down the aisle.
Yes.
So he had the whole cast like jump on this Zoom call with the couple that got engaged and did the flash dance on like a Zoom call. And everybody did their original dance moves. It was great. It was really awesome.
I bet all the cast was so on board for that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And so like Kevin had tissue boxes on his feet.
Oh.
And Dwight kicked his actual wife in the face.
Fantastic.
And Steve Carell did a cameo. But it was great. Anyways, back on track to cohabitation. I have such an issue. Like, I have such ADHD. I like go off on all these little tangents, but
I don't think it's ADHD. You just want to be thorough.
It's ADD, not ADHD, Kate. Lord.
Irony.
What has been your favorite thing about living together?
Favorite thing about living together, probably how we can just drop an idea on a whim and then both just jump into it.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, like something new pops up on Netflix. You want to watch this? Yeah, sure, let's do it. It's a nice day out. You want to go for a walk?
Mm-hmm.
And we're always just so on board with the other's idea that there's never any hesitation or insecurity if we want to go out and be together or do something in the house.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't have a lot of insecurities with each other anymore.
No.
I mean, I think that there's probably still a few, but just I've never been as comfortable with anybody as I have been with you. Like, so comfortable.
Yeah, for
probably
sure.
To a fault, I'm a little too comfortable.
No, I don't think it's a fault. I think you should be searching for that person that you can truly be unapologetically genuine with.
Well, and maybe this will be in a whole episode in itself, is just like, and as corny as it sounds, I knew that you were my person because I could be so comfortable with you, because I could be so open. So because I could be my silly self with you.
Yeah. I definitely reciprocate.
Yeah. And I'd never been able to fully do that before with somebody else.
Yeah. Same. Because you keep up that facade because you think you got to woo them and win them over all the time. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're both very fortunate that our levels of cleanliness are very even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause that would be a deal breaker. No doubt.
I will admit sometimes the laundry piles up. I hate doing laundry so much.
I think it's natural with people because what's your time frame on doing laundry? You do it every, 3 to 5 days?
I don't really have
maybe closer to 5 or 6.
I don't really have a time frame. It's like when the pile gets to a size that Bingley could hide under it and I wouldn't know she's there, that's when I know I need to do it.
Gotcha.
Or when I start running out of underwear, which is what happened today.
Yep. Wait, really?
I didn't completely run out, but like, I don't know if guys do this, but do guys have like favorite underwear and like underwear that you'll only wear if it's like close to laundry day?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what was happening. I was like getting to the bottom of the dresser, like trying to like really get in there and
digging.
Find some decent underwear. Not great. And this morning I put on a pair of underwear that I really don't like. I was like, why do we even have these anymore? And then I thought, for days like today when I don't have another option.
Yeah. I definitely have a few pair of laundry day clothes, shirts that get worn once a month, pants that get worn less than that.
How do you deal with, or what advice would you give to people who are new to cohabitating about needing personal space?
Ooh, personal space is very important. I think it should be established as soon as you can.
Like, do you go somewhere in the house for personal space? Do you do something to find solace and like have some personal space?
I think it's very much a physical thing. Yeah. You have to be out of earshot of the other person in case you're having a very in-depth conversation with your mom or dad or a friend who's going through some stuff, which sometimes it is hard to find inside the house, but even outside the house, if you have to walk behind the shed or whatever your equivalent is.
Yeah. Walk to the trash chute in your apartment complex.
Yeah. Try not to fall down.
Yeah.
I think I would sum it up with the key part of cohabitation is to establish everything with good communication as soon as that task or obstacle creeps up.
Okay. Can you give an example?
Yeah. Tasks around the house or how certain things are going to be handled. Just like the topics we just talked about, like with dogs or joining duplicates of each thing, just talking as soon as it happens, because the worst thing is to bottle it up and get that corrosive resentment against someone else. Mm-hmm. It's very unhealthy.
Yeah. I think that another really important thing and key to living with someone is knowing when someone just needs their space. Because I am someone who, if I have a feeling which that you are in a bad mood or something's bothering you, I'm in your face. I'm like, hey, what's wrong? What's going on? And you'll be like, nothing. No, tell me. What's happening? What is it? And I need to, I think that I do this sometimes because if you really are trying to like shut me down and get me to like kind of leave you alone, I'll give you space. And I think it's really important to read those signals from your partner because not everybody knows that they need to ask for personal space and that they need some time to just like decompress away from you, because you are living with another person and that can be really challenging at times.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Like finding ways to have like your own thing to do in the house.
Your own outlet.
Yeah. So like for you, you like coming down and mixing down here in the studio because that's something that you can kind of just do by yourself and you can focus on your work and I'm not going to bother you. The dogs won't bother you if you don't bring them down here. And then also going back to you like doing games with your friends on the PlayStation.
Yes, it's a PlayStation.
Okay, sorry.
You know what that console is.
Come on.
Don't play dumb. You do know.
I do know, but I just sometimes I question it. It's really great because when you play with your friends, I can go to sleep early and not feel guilty about it.
Right.
Because something else that I wanted to talk about is that since we started, even before we formally lived together, you always have had this thing about going to bed together.
Mm-hmm.
We always go to bed together.
Absolutely.
Unless you're playing a game or you're out or I'm out or something like that. But we always go to bed together. Even if it's early and you don't want to go to bed because it's like 8:30 and I'm exhausted, you will still come upstairs and get into bed with me. And I'm curious because you've told me this in the past, but I would like for you to expand on it a little bit. Why are you so committed to going to bed together at the same time?
It's something I read in a lot of advice columns, and it resonated with me, which it just makes sense because I think if you start deviating from each other, like you're going to keep deviating like long down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So just having that consistency.
Like a routine.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be every night, like, because we do have our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's 3 or 4 nights out of the week, that's still enough to say it's got some consistency to it.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it does us a lot of good. And I would say for the most part, we have the same sleep patterns. There's nights that you'll get more and I'll get more and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, and I appreciate you because you're wanting to go to bed every night, that you make the sacrifice to go to bed early with me, because I do enjoy going to sleep on the earlier side.
Yeah, I love being a morning person. And maybe that's it too.
Mm.
Maybe I'm selfish in that, but being up at 7 a.m. is highly underrated.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm. Interesting.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, because I think a lot of people don't have chickens and don't have a reason to get up at 7 a.m.
I do it out of obligation so the neighbors don't get mad at me.
Yeah, our chickens, I feel like it's fairly recent because I don't think they used to do this before, but at 7 a.m. they start clucking. It's not even clucking. I don't even know how to describe it, and I'm not going to do it.
You want me to do it?
No, because I don't think that people need to hear that. They can Google it. But when they, Ben informed me that when they are laying an egg or getting ready to lay an egg, they make this like squawking sound that, and our chickens, for the most part, we don't hear them. They don't make a lot of sound and we don't feel bad because they don't bother the neighbors, except for early in the morning, and they make this like god awful squawking sound. And yeah. If any of our neighbors are listening, I'm so sorry. We really do feel bad. But Ben goes out there so that he can open their gate and they can go into their channel and start doing their daily routine.
I think it's to alert the other chickens that, hey, I'm vulnerable right now. And I'm laying an egg, so be on high alert.
Huh. No. Please cut this
out.
That's
what it sounds like. Staying in. Everyone's wondering what it sounds like. They don't want to Google it.
They can Google it. They can Google what sound does a chicken make when it's laying an egg.
Not anymore. It's on tape.
Ugh.
I love
you. It's going to be triggering.
To whom? You?
No, to people with misophonia.
That's why I backed off the mic when I did it.
Okay.
You're
such
welcome.
An audio guy.
And me. Well, folks, thanks for listening. Episode 5. Like and subscribe. And give us your thoughts on what we can do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Things you want to hear, things you did like, things you maybe didn't like.
Yeah, we've got a handful of episodes that we're working on for the next couple of weeks. But like I said at the end of the last episode, we really want to hear from you guys. If there's a topic that you would like us to cover, please just send it to us. You can send it to us on our Instagram, which is pending.nuptials.pod. And you can send us a DM there. If you are a friend of ours, you can just text us. You don't have to send it through the social media.
Yeah, you don't have to make it a thing.
Yeah. But we really appreciate you guys listening. And have a happy rest of your quarantine day.
Yeah, stay safe. Stay healthy.
Hey, look at us.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Oh my gosh. Who would have thought?
I would not have.
I wouldn't have. I love you.
I love you too.